Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
He's a tremendous athlete. He's got a very bright future. We want to get him stronger. You know, I mean, you've all seen his body. I think an offseason is going to really serve him well. Had some nagging injuries and things that he fought through. Handled some adversity, I think, pretty well. He had the unfortunate car accident early in the year, which probably derailed him for a few weeks.
Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, talking about last year's first-round draft pick out of Clemson, Nate Wiggins. And, you know, it's a season in which he played 15 games. Had 33 tackles, one interception, which did turn into a touchdown. Six, yeah. But, you know, overcoming some things, as Eric just laid out, and you know, I forgot about that car accident. Yeah. I mean, it was right on the eve of, what, the training camp or the season. It was car accidents are never good no matter when they happen, but his was very unfortunate timing. Why?
And how about Mark Andrews, too, Bob? He was out for a while with neck or whatever it was. But, yeah, Nate Wiggins, I mean, he's a talented guy. It came down in the draft to Nate Wiggins or DeJean, who plays for the Eagles.
Cooper.
Yeah, and he starts for them at nickelback. But the Ravens wanted an outside guy that could play corner more so than an inside guy. And Cooper DeJean is not an outside guy. He is what he is. He's the nickel guy, and he's a very good nickel. So for the Ravens, that was the difference in why they took Nate Wiggins. But Nate Wiggins was one of the fastest guys in the draft. He is super skinny. And like Eric said, he needs to get in the weight room. Yes, he does. And I'm guessing that Clemson has a weight coach. He probably just didn't like to go. So they need to get him to fall in love with the weight room because he needs to get bigger, stronger. Because if he gets bigger, stronger, it's going to help his tackling too. The thing that he needs to improve upon, he just needs to get better fundamentally because he likes to grab. He is a grabber. And I don't know why he needs to grab because he runs 4.2 something. So he doesn't need to grab to pull to, you know, to catch up to the guy. But he's got a lot of skill. He needs a lot of fundamental work. He needs to get in the weight room. He's got good hands. Just the technique stuff is what he really needs a ton of work on. And if Bob, I mean, if you saw his, like the size of his legs and stuff, they're sticks. So he needs to live in the weight room and get stronger because he's going to get faster, you know, with his strength and stuff too. And he's going to be a much more confident guy, especially in the tackling, because he's got to start this next year. He has to start because Stevens will be gone, you know, and Marlon would be probably, honestly, much rather have Marlon inside than outside.
But with Nate Wiggins, the upside is pretty tremendous.
Big
here.
Time. Yeah, big time upside. And
there is ball awareness, you know what I mean?
Oh, he's got ball skills. Yes, he does. He has all that. It was a good pick for where they got him. That's an excellent pick. And he's going to be starting corner for them. I just hope that, and Eric, you know, that he gets in the weight room and probably puts on about 10 pounds.
Now, the second round pick, 30th of the second round. Nate Wiggins, by the way, was the 30th overall pick. Roger Rosengarten out of the University of Washington, and prior to his rookie year in Baltimore, last time we saw him play against Michigan in the championship game, it was long day at the office.
Yes,
he had a Mark Andrews level day at the office on national TV, but Ravens get him. And I guess, Vinny, if you go back to when you saw him at rookie camp through OTAs, obviously training camp into the season, his growth was exponential.
No doubt about it. And Bob, going back to when I saw him against Michigan, he couldn't handle the bull run. I mean, they just walked him back. And then, you know, another one, Bob, you say, damn, University of Washington, where's their strength program? You know, and then I remember the first time I saw him. First time I saw him, I go, holy crap. You know, has he been in the weight room before? Just because he didn't have a man body and he had a soft body. And he is the type of, but fundamentally good, very good athlete. Can move his feet, can bend, can run, can do all those things. Just needs to get stronger. And I think we said it all along. A year from now, when he gets man strength, he's going to be so much better. And he did improve a ton from day one, you know. And then when he got to start, I think he did a real, you know, he had some problems with some power and some bull rush, which kind of figured he would, but he could pull, he could run, he could do those things, and he could get up on the linebackers, all those types of things. Has good feet. Does he have left tackle feet? Yes, he does. He has left tackle feet, which he'll probably play next year. Now, the thing is, he got better as season went along. And even towards the end of the season, they weren't chipping as much. He was handling guys by himself. In the playoff game, TJ Watt, he was going by himself with him. And in this division, with the pass rushers that they have, with Watt and Garrett and Hendrickson, you know, especially if he's going to be playing left tackle, he needs more man strength. He needs to be able to put his foot in the ground and anchor. And then what I want to see is when I go out there in OTAs and minicamp, I want to see that he's got some definition in his body, that he's been in the weight room and stuff. Because if he does that, he's going to be a stud for a while.
You mean like me and Nolan?
Yes.
Definition. I'm soft. Nolan's just, he's an Adonis over there. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Talking about the draft class here, News from the Nest 2024. Last one, because we got plenty to get to. Third round pick, Penn State, Adisa Isaac. Is this an incompleter?
Oh, totally incomplete, Bob. Because, I mean, the guy had a hammy. Wasn't it? Got hurt at the first day of rookie minicamp. Then he missed all of OTAs. Missed a lot of training camp. So when he came back, he was not ready. I mean, he wasn't ready because he missed so much time. And the other thing is he didn't have football conditioning. That was the biggest thing. And then when he came back too, he just looked slow. He just stepped slow. And the other thing was he didn't know what he was doing. So he was way behind. And I mean, when I saw him, first time I saw him back, it's like, no, he's not. Just because he's thinking way too much. Because as a pass rusher, the biggest thing you need is get off. You got to get off that ball, you know, because you're challenging that offensive tackle. And you're trying to create, you know, options for you on your pass rush. But he had no burst explosiveness off the ball. He's going to be, like, when we go out there, hopefully in mini camps and stuff, we're going to see a totally different guy because he'll have been in shape. He'll have had these reps. He'll have had all this stuff. And he gets his body right, too. Because is he an elite guy? No, he is not. No. You know, so he needs a really, really good offseason where he's healthy, lives in the weight room, gets faster, gets more explosive, and spends a ton of time with Chuck Smith working on his technique. That is, you know, go down there and hang out in Atlanta with, you know, Oway and, you know, those guys at Matabike, because he needs a lot of fundamental work on his hands and pass rush moves.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We got more rookie breakdown coming from Vinny as the show and the week progresses. Stay tuned for that. But coming up next, let's count some dough, hopefully buy or sell. Talk about the many sports subjects of this day. And we'll talk to John Cooper, rlads.com. Got the Senior Bowl. A couple of Terps are there. Talk to John about the draft class of 25 NFL launch at 1. And then Danielle Allen Tuck, Baltimore Banner, talk about Adam Jones coming back to the Nest, and also talk about Dylan Carlson added to the 40-man roster. Where does he fit in?
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Breaking news, Nolan. Because you're big on the Vidya games, right? Paul Skeens, Ellie Dela Cruz, and Gunnar Henderson announced as the MLB The Show cover athletes.
Pretty cool.
pretty cool. I wish he had it on his own, Gunner, that is, but we'll take it.
You're going to split hairs there.
So elite, there you go. Elite company.
Three, I think, honors potential dudes for the upcoming season. But we'll talk more Orioles baseball. Danielle Allentuck later in the program from the Baltimore Banner. A lot going on in sports. We'll get into it, but right now let's count some money. By yourself.
All right, the Dow's up 130. The S&P's up 46. NASDAQ is up 329. Yesterday was down over 600. DraftKings is up 78 cents. Under Armour's up 8 cents.
Well, let's start here in the NBA. Just say this. I have no idea what the Phoenix Suns are doing. They've accumulated a ton of big contracts over the past few years. They've got nothing to show for it. But now, ahead of next week's deadline, they remain linked to Jimmy Butler. Those rumors, he's disgruntled. But for Phoenix, they've already got a disgruntled player in-house, talking about Yusuf Nurkic, who started 23 games earlier this year, then got moved to the bench by head coach Mike Budenholzer, and he hasn't played at all since January 7th. A recent interview, Nurkic revealed that he and his coach haven't spoken in months, and he says they have no relationship at all. Also added that he doesn't expect to be traded at next week's deadline. With that in mind, Bob, buy or sell, if the Suns don't trade Nurkic, he won't play again this season.
I'll sell it because there might be an injury somewhere that puts him back in the starting lineup or in the rotation. Miles Plumlee right now is the starting center for them. But we talked about this too, Nolan. They might have another disgruntled player on their hands in Bradley Beal. Because Winhorst said on ESPN and Scott Van Pelt this morning, replay of last night, it's an untradeable contract because he won't opt out of his deal. Eddie makes, well, he's got a no trade clause and he's making a ton of dough. Right now, they're the eighth seed in the West. And as you said, they got all this dough invested into these high priced guys. I mean, Durant, Beal, they're, say, aging or old, and Nurk alert himself. This is a guy that whined himself out of Denver because he was losing minutes to Joker. Boy, did Denver make the right move or what on that one? But he will play. If they don't trade him, he'll play because, you know, people step into potholes and get Tanya Harding, if you know what I'm saying.
Now, Phoenix wasn't the one to give Beal the no trade. Was that still from Washington?
I think that was a Wizards move.
Because I was going to jump Phoenix again there. There's only two players.
I think I'm not 100% certain. But he was, look, him and John Wall were the backcourt of the future. And they had like a little 2-3 year run. John Wall's been out of the league for a couple years. And, you know, Beal, unfortunately, the pastures were not always greener. And the irony of Jordan Poole's playing his ass off this year and probably he'll get traded to a good team.
But to show maybe how ridiculous a no-trade clause is, only two players have it, Beal and LeBron.
Yeah.
That should tell you everything.
Right.
Why does Beal have it in the first place? Anyway.
It is the Wizard.
Yeah. Good agent.
Move over to the NFL here. A new regime in charge of the Jets. First order of business for them, addressing Aaron Rodgers' status. New head coach Aaron Glenn said he's open to the idea of keeping the veteran quarterback around, but they're going to meet here soon, come up with a resolution quickly. In Glenn's words, he doesn't want this to drag out. It makes sense, but when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, nothing has ever resolved quickly. Past few off-seasons have featured him contemplating retirement and taking his sweet time to do it as well. Vinny, are you buying or selling that the Jets and Rodgers will actually come to a speedy resolution on their futures?
I'll buy that. I think hearing Aaron Glenn talk, I was impressed with Aaron Glenn. He's got some command when he talks. The GM, not so much. GM looks like an analytical type guy. But Aaron Glenn, he's going to sit down and watch the film of all the games and stuff and decide. I don't know that they can get better right now because it's a bad year in the draft. So they may have to go with Aaron Rodgers this year.
Over to baseball, where the Braves have added to their outfield. This was last week, signing former Padre Jurickson Profar to a 3-year deal. Profar is now 31 years old, coming off a career season as well. 24 homers, 85 RBIs, his first All-Star appearance, and even a Silver Slugger Award. Really a season that... Did it come out of nowhere? Not necessarily. I mean, Profar has been known for a while, but his previous 10 seasons before last year never really came close to putting up those kinds of numbers, and he is 31 years old now. Buy or sell, Bob, Profar's All-Star season was a flash in the pan he will return to role player production this year.
I'll soft buy it. But remember, for a couple years, he was the number one prospect in baseball. Him and Jonathan Scope were buddies going back to, what's that, Curacao, I believe they're from. And he'd shown flashes during his bounce around the majors career, but he made like $1.5 million last year, or $2 million, and he cashed in for what he did with Atlanta. And as the Braves know, as much as any team in baseball, injuries have crippled them. And to have, if you want to call him a fallback option, say Acuna goes down again and knock, or Harris, knock on wood, nothing happens like that, he'll fit into the rotation, and I think he'll he'll perform. I don't know if he's back to the all-star level guy, but that's why they play the games, Nolan.
Well, the stage is set for Super Bowl 59 yet again. Chiefs there, a rematch of a few years ago, taking on the Eagles. As for the other 12 playoff teams who came up well short of their goal, what can they do to get back here next year? Cody Benjamin has ranked those playoff losers based on their chances of making the Super Bowl next year. Where do the Ravens come in? Number 4, according to him, ahead of them, Green Bay at 3, Detroit at number 2, and you might be surprised by this one, Washington at number 1. He's citing the Jaden Daniels it factor, as well as the abundance of cap space they have to build around him. Vinny, are you buying or selling that the Commanders have the brightest immediate future of this playoff group?
I'm going to sell it. I think the Ravens do. You know, and I'm not trying to be a homer, but I mean, you got the MVP quarterback, you got basically a 2,000-yard rusher, and you got studs on defense, too. I think the Ravens are much more ready than any of those other teams.
But from an NFC perspective, do they have a brighter future than, say, Detroit, Minnesota, others?
Just because of the quarterback, I would say Detroit scares me a little bit, Bob. You lose both coordinators, you lose coaches, so that transition's going to be difficult. Minnesota, you're going to be playing a rookie quarterback. So, yeah, I would go with...
Well, let's not forget Philly's kind of in the Super Bowl again, second time in 3 years.
But, so. I mean, teams that were in the playoffs that are not in the Super
Bowl. Okay, gotcha.
The Cubs and Astros connected for another trade over the weekend. This time, Houston sending reliever Ryan Pressly to Chicago for a low-level pitching prospect. Houston also chipping in a large chunk of money that will cover a portion of Presley's remaining $14 million on his contract for 2025. Now, that's not much of a return for a reliever who's been an all-star in his career, has had 30-plus save seasons in recent history, but it seems the Astros value the money savings here a little bit more, possibly allowing them to reunite with Alex Bregman. Buy or sell, Bob, even if Houston can retain Bregman, the Presley trade is a steal for Chicago.
I'll buy it, sure, because Hader took his closer job last year anyway, so he wasn't even the closer any longer, but high-leverage reliever back end of the bullpen, and you called it. It looks like they and Bregman are going to reach some sort of agreement, even though he's bent. Because reading this morning, the contract offers 6 years, 150-plus annual values, less than he was already making with the Astros. So he's kind of chafed at that a little bit. But they're just clearing up some cake to bring old Bregman back to Houston.
What if they whiff on that? Now we got all this money, but... what do we do with it?
Well, maybe sign Jack Flaherty to the equation. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Talk NFL Draft 2025. John Cooper from OurLads.com. Also talk about the Senior Bowl, which is happening this week. Matter of fact, go to NFL Network, and they got the stuff happening as we speak. Get your phone calls. Sports at 583-1057. Terps Badge excited about this three-game winning streak. Hosting Wisconsin tomorrow night. Game you can hear on The Fan. Dylan Carl Carlson is coming to Baltimore. We'll talk about that with Danielle Allen Tuck. Looks like the position player pool's kind of filled out. Could Elias be angling for a trade, perhaps, to get a starting pitcher? Stockpiling all of these people. Anything you want to get into? And the Super Bowl set, by the way. Super Bowl 59. Kansas City trying to become the first team ever to win 3 straight Lombardi trophies.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Turn it up Tuesday, cranking it to 12. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request to the Plaza Sports text line at 410-583-1057. Super Bowl set, Kansas City and Philly. Draft is coming up, NFL, April 24th, first round anyway, and here to talk about that Senior Bowl happening this week, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Let's welcome in from OurLads.com. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. It's been a while since we've spoken to him, but good to hear from John Cooper. John, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Oh, doing real good.
All right, let's talk about the Senior Bowl, and in particular from a Maryland perspective. Two players there, Dante Trader, safety, and then Ty Felton, wide receiver. And, you know, your perspective, your analysis of those two. And two-parter, I guess. You look at Maryland DB's recent vintage in the NFL. Yeah, Bennett in Las Vegas. Savage was a first-round pick. So with Banks, okay, that hasn't really worked out all that great for the Giants. Nick Cross, Bo Braid here in Baltimore, wide receiver. And, of course, you got all the DJ Moore, Stephon Diggs. Rack Jarrett in Tampa, among others. Does that help the perception of these players, or are they kind of just living on their own little island there, if you will, trying to get themselves noticed by NFL people?
I think for the most part they're living on their own island. I think there's some, you know, like if a person's a product of an offense that is unique, quarterbacks, for example, that might have an effect. People will look at that. You know, is it a one-read offense? Is it you know, the history is might not be good for some quarterbacks and certain offenses and things like that in terms of how they project to the NFL. But for the most part, you're on your own little island and you make your own way.
Now, John, let's break it down a little bit. What's the depth of the draft? Like, let's go over pass rushers first. What kind of depth pass rushers?
Good depth. It's a good draft for a defensive line. The whole front seven is pretty solid. We like the defensive tackles in particular. We think this is a great year for defensive tackles. If you're looking for any kind of tackle you want, there's guys out there that can play. It's better than last year. Edge rusher is fine. You know, there's a number of really good players. You know, we're in the process right now of grading guys and trying to stack them against each other. And we've got about 18 edge guys that we have grades on right now. And again, these are still preliminary. We still have a lot of work to do with these guys. But, you know, out of about, you know, we've graded about, you know, that's out of about another, let's see, I'm trying to think of my list here. I think we've got about, well over 100 guys, 107 guys, I think, that are on our database that are considered edge rushers. So it's a big class.
So at 27, the Ravens are picking 27th. At 27, is there enough depth and quality there that you could get a guy in the second or third round instead of going somewhere else in the first?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think that's a possibility. I mean, there's some guys that, you know, might slip down that far that, you know, maybe didn't have as productive of a year but are still solid players. And there's some guys that, you know, might be a little light and, you know, developing type guys. You know, the Ravens seem to like to do that. They like to take a guy that's got great upside and draft him. And they've taken some of those guys in the first round. Now, Odafe Owe coming out was very raw, no sacks, you know, in his senior year in college, but he's developed into a pretty nice player.
What about depth at corner and safety?
Safety's not as much, but there's a lot of corners. I don't see a lot of elite corner talent, you know, compared to some other years in terms of maybe those top guys being, you know, really, really good. Some of those guys suffered through some injuries this year, and you know, Shane Reval, for example, is a guy I really like from East Carolina, and he's you know, recovering from an ACL. You know, Will Johnson from Michigan, he was dealing with a foot injury for a good part of the season, and so there's some question marks on some of these guys. Morrison was dealing with an injury at Notre Dame, but they're still good players, and there is a lot of corners that in this draft that are kind of all bunched up together in terms of their ability, and there's some guys that I really like that I think can be players that are maybe third round type guys. Jamari Harris comes to mind from Iowa that we think is a really, really good prospect.
Now, what about offensively? Where's the depth offensively?
Running back. That's a good position, you know, this year. There's a lot of good running backs that are, you know, going to be bunched up in that, you know, 60 from 35 to 100, you know, in terms of how players are graded. You know, we think that's a real good part of the draft, and we think there's a lot of running backs in there.
Now, what about the tackle position? Because, you know, they Ronnie Stanley's a free agent. Rosengarten is right tackle, probably going to move to left tackle. So depth at the tackle spot.
We don't like the depth there or in the whole offensive line overall. We don't think that's this is a great year for that position, comparatively speaking. You know, there's some guys at the top that are really good players, but even there, you know, some of these guys could project the guard. And there's still some development with some of these guys that might be, you know, not quite ready for prime time. We think there's going to still be about five guys taken in the first round, four or five. Then after that, there's a little bit of a drop-off.
John Cooper, rlads.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 Fan. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Always goes back to quarterback because it's a position of need. And, you know, there's some teams at the top end of the draft, John, as you know, that could use a quarterback. The best quarterback in this year's draft would have been picked where last year?
Oh, I don't even know if he'd been in the first round. Probably late first round. This is not a strong year for quarterbacks in our eyes. We're scratching our heads trying to figure, you know, there's redeeming qualities in these guys. And Shedeur Sanders, for example, he does some things very well. His accuracy outside the numbers, his pocket presence is a concern, as is Cam Ward's. You know, Cam Ward has a strong arm. He's got, you know, good mobility. But there's some inconsistencies with both of these guys. And I think it's going to be interesting to see which one is drafted before the other. It's pretty close. I think they're first-round talent. But, you know, in stacking them, they would probably be mid-first-round type guys, upper mid-first-round. But with a needed quarterback for some of these teams, I believe somebody's going to take them. I don't know if they're going to go 1-2. It's very possible a team is going to look at a great talented player that, especially a team like Tennessee that has a lot of needs. You know, I think Chicago proved that you can go get your quarterback, but if you don't have an offensive line, you're going to have a problem. And, you know, they need to fix some things in their overall team, both sides of the ball. So they could do well to, you know, address those areas and maybe get the quarterback later.
Hey, John, what about tight end depth? You know, receiving tight ends, blocking tight ends. What's that like?
Got a lot of them, both, especially the receivers. You know, like Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland are two guys we think are going in the first round. We really like Tyler Warren. You know, we think this guy plays hard. Mm-hmm. He can carry the ball. He can run with the ball. He can block. He's a great receiver. He's tough after the catch. You know, this is a good football player. This is a guy that we think could go in the top 10. And we may be reaching a little bit there, but we really like him. Colston Loveland is a great receiving tight end. You know, kind of a project as a blocker, but he's still a solid player. You got guys like Mason Taylor, Harold Fannin Jr., that are, you know, very good receivers. Fannin is undersized. You know, he's a try-hard blocker. He'll get out and block in space, but he's a real good receiver from Bowling Green. Brenningstuhl from Clemson is another one. I mean, there's a good list of tight ends in this draft.
John Cooper, OurLads.com, NFL Draft, April 24th. Draft order is set for 30 of the 32 teams to be determined in about 13, 12 days there. John, we appreciate the time as always. Have fun with the Senior Bowl, and obviously we'll be talking to you a lot over the next couple of months here.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
Yep, there's John Cooper, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset for you. If you're on the phones, we'll take your call. 410-583-1057. We'll talk to Nolan McGraw a little bit more. Maybe squeeze a funhouse in because we couldn't get to it last hour. NFL lunch, back to the Ravens rookie draft profiles and breakdowns and grades. And then Danielle Allentuck, Baltimore Banner. Talk about the signing of Dylan Carlson, bringing Adam Jones back as an assistant to Mike Elias. And what? February 12th, pitchers and catchers, it's there, everybody. Is anyone out there at least giving credit to the fact that they've been in multiple Super Bowls and they're on the verge, perhaps, of being the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowls?
You're starting to sound like Nate Burleson. Did you hear what he said?
I did not.
The game? He was telling people that are complaining about the Chiefs to pipe down and appreciate greatness. Is there witnessing history right now?
Right.
Well, that'd be great if we didn't just sit through this with the Patriots. Literally right before the Chiefs started.
Yeah.
They lined up. Like, right as the Patriots ended, the Chiefs started the very next year. We had no break, no breathing room.
I would say the big difference is people hated Belichick. They like Andy Reid.
And they hated Brady, too.
And they hated
Everybody,
Brady.
Brady's rehabilitated himself for whatever reason. And, but he was public enemy number one around here.
And people like Mahomes. Now, people like Gronk because he was like, the big goofy guy. And I think people like Kelce.
People in Kansas City.
What's
that's about it. People in Kansas City like those. I mean, yeah. Like,
no, but I think nationally,
They get forced down everyone's throat.
Yeah, I think Gronk was more likable on a national level than because Kelce's a little on the arrogant side. And how about him talking trash to Hamlin?
Yeah.
And then the dude winds up getting the 15-yard penalty. But Tom Brady was the originator, at least in this century, of the crybaby getting calls. Yeah. They changed rules because of him, not hitting low. So, yeah, I mean, you could blame Mahomes for flopping and all that stuff and them getting the calls. Brady was doing that years ago.
Say this about Brady, though.
Wait, we've forgotten this all of a sudden?
Well, here's the difference for me.
I hated Brady till he went to Tampa.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Difference for me is Brady was never, all right, I'm going to extend the play and be a threat to run down the sideline with my legs. He would fold in the pocket. If you got to him and you got a hand on him, he'd kind of go down. He wouldn't fight you. So in that regard, it was kind of easy to play him from that perspective. You know, you didn't have to worry about the second play, so to speak.
And then you have Philadelphia, and they're obnoxious fans.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Can we get a rematch of the Bills and Ravens again? And, oh, by the way, another prediction. I was wrong. The winner of that game would win the Super Bowl. But should I just give my money away now? You want to get paid? So I'll just play along for fun. Like I do with the regular game. Like, I mean, do I still have... Eddie, we'll get to that later. Chris of Parkville. Chris, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going this afternoon?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple points and get your guys' feedback on it. It's about the Ravens. I'll start out with a positive. I don't think you can quantify how important it is and the tantamount to the success of the Ravens' offense with Lamar being there, that they extended Monken. I think that's great news. I love that news. The second is not so is not a positive one, but it seems like, and I wanted to get your guys. This is what I really wanted to get your guys' opinion on. It seems like the Ravens are like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde syndrome that they have, and like especially when it gets to the postseason. And I don't know in your Vinny, maybe Vinny, you could speak to this. If you've ever heard of like just different measures to take with that, like weird field trips or sports psychologists or whatever. And those are my 2 points. And I'd just like to get your guys' feedback on that. You guys have a great day.
All right, Chris, good call.
Well, I would say like.
Did you ever hop on the leather couch there, Vin?
No. No. Probably wish I would have at times. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, you know. Because going into this playoffs, it was always like, you know, Lamar got to, it's all about the playoffs. And actually, probably Lamar's 2 best games he's played in the playoffs. I thought Lamar played well enough. It's for a lot of, like for Kansas City, it's like Mahomes and who else is going to step up? And like for the Ravens, it's like, who's going to screw up? You know, whose turn is it this time? And it was Andrew's turn this time. You know, I mean, that's kind of the thing that I think of when I see, you know, it's not like how many guys are going to have great games. No, who's going to have that bad game that's going to cost them? And that's what's happened.
Well, Lamar had the bad first half against Buffalo with the turnovers. So he had a game and a half where he played really well. Quarterback rating was over 100 both times.
Yeah, the first half, the interception, miscommunication, didn't hurt him. The fumble killed him. That was bad play by Lamar because they were in plus territory, going to go score again.
And then Buffalo went down and scored. So that was a killer. So,
and it goes back to the talk last week we were doing. A lot of people are saying the best team in football is not playing, and it was the Ravens. Well, best team in football didn't beat yourself every week.
Yep.
Best team in football had lost three of the four teams in the championship game. And they beat Buffalo back in September and beat Washington, but lost to Philly, lost to Kansas City. Bills got them in the playoffs. So to me, that are they as good as any team? Sure. But to sit here and say definitively the best team in football is not playing in the Super Bowl, I don't think that's correct. The best team in football, I think we have seen through 17 games and 2 weeks of the playoffs, is 60 minutes away from winning their third straight Super Bowl.
And Bob, I mean, you guys said it, Ostreicher and you both said it. I mean, how easy, you know, would it have been for the Ravens to beat Oakland and the Cleveland? Just one of those guys catch one of those three interceptions, they beat Cleveland. And then you're playing Buffalo at home, which totally changes it.
Yeah. And we'll look at the opponents as the week goes on, the off season since we're here. But if Gardner Minshew got signed by one of them, watch out, Ravens. Yeah. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch next. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. How about the Turtles if they beat Wisconsin? Probably going to be ranked. Joe Lenardi's got them moving on up, Jefferson style. It is latest bracketology. And then Danielle Allen-Tuck will talk about the Orioles. Dylan Carlson, come on down.